Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rock podcast. I am so glad you are back with me this week. I have a new guest on and I am so excited about this conversation that we're going to have this week. We're going to be talking about God and nature. And those are things I love to talk about. As you know, if you've listened to the podcast, we always point things back to Jesus because that is the most important thing. And so we're going to talk about how we can find God in nature and how we can help our kids to do that and just some really fun and practical ways to home educate our kids and just wrap them in God's amazing design of this world that he created. And this is something that you guys probably know. I'm not a big outdoorsy person, but I love the outdoors. So I know that doesn't make sense. That sounds like a total oxymoron. I didn't grow up being in the outdoors very much, but the more I'm outdoors, the more I fall in love with it. And just God's amazing gift of his creation that he's given to us. And so Aaron is an expert in all of these things, and we are going to talk about that. It's going to be a great week. But before we get into it, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great curriculum that will really give you the tools that you need that are rooted in a solid biblical foundation to teach your kids about God and about his creation, check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. They have trustworthy resources that really will support the goals that you have for your children. And it doesn't matter what your style of learning is, whether it's independent learning or parent-led approach, whatever works best for you and your family, they have something for you and they meet your needs for every age, every grade, every subject. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Aaron, welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am absolutely thrilled to have you with me this week. I've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time. Introduce our audience to you and your family and what you do.
Thank you so much. I've been so excited for this conversation also. So my husband and I have been married for almost 15 years, and we live in the Front Range of Colorado, about an hour north of Denver, and we have four children. Our boys are ages 12, 10, and 8, and our daughter just turned 6, and we homeschool our children. We always have. Actually, my husband and I both grew up homeschooled, so we were both second generation homeschool parents, which is a little uncommon, but it's been just such a great journey and path, really lifestyle for us. We both work from home also, so just love the flexibility and getting to train our children as we raise them.
Yeah. So you're a second generation homeschooler, and so is your husband. Talk just briefly about what your homeschool journey looked like growing up, because I love talking to those of you who are now adults and homeschooling your kids, because you hear of those adults who are like, I was homeschooled. I hated it. I would never do that to my kids or myself. And they don't. They put their kids in traditional school. What was it about homeschooling with your family that made it so enticing for you to continue homeschooling your own kids?
That is such a great question. In some ways, it's very similar, and in some ways, it's very different. So for instance, very different is that I grew up homeschooled in the Midwest in Wisconsin. And back then in that area, there were not many homeschoolers. So we did not have community. We had a small homeschool co-op we would get together with every once in a while. But there was just such a lack of community, and we were seen as so strange. Just people questioned my parents all the time on it. And also, we weren't even allowed to play outside until traditional school was out, because people would call the police and be like, why are these kids outside? So it was just, it was so different, and in a lot of ways, kind of stifling in that way. Just feeling very much so different, and different was fine. Like, we knew different was fine, and there were reasons for it, but wishing we could go outside. And I see the freedom my kids have now homeschooling in today's modern age, and they just have so much more freedoms than I grew up with. But it's also similar in some ways, because my parents were entrepreneurs and they owned a business. And so my siblings and I have two older siblings. We grew up with the same kind of flexibility. The first 5 years of my life, we traveled around the United States for my dad's job. So most of my schooling or my siblings' schooling at that time was on the road. And so just loving that flexibility. And that's really what I held to, was two things: the flexibility of it. I did go to public school in ninth grade. My parents gave us the choice, and I was the only one who took them up on that. And 1 year was enough for me, and I came home to homeschool because I wanted my freedom back. Yeah. So the flexibility, and then also just seeing the opportunities my parents had to disciple us. And that was the second thing that really meant a lot to us, was having all of that time, all of that opportunity to train and disciple our children.
Yeah, it is the best thing about homeschooling. I love the relationships we get to build with them and the training we get to do. And yes, the freedom we have today is so amazing. I think oftentimes we forget that as homeschoolers today. You know, I rarely even think about that. I go out with my girls all the time, grocery store, the park, you know, wherever it is that we need to go. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, this was kind of funny. My youngest daughter and several of her friends decided they wanted to take a little shopping day. And so there were, I think, 5 girls, and right smack in the middle of a Tuesday, we went shopping, and it was a few other moms and myself, and we just had a great time. And you know what? They were engaging with each other. They were not socially awkward. They were even budgeting. So we could say they did math, because the girls, they each had their own budget, and they were trying to figure out, like, do I have enough money to buy these clothes that I want or these shoes that I want? And it was just such a fun day. But you're right. Years ago, had they done that, people would have looked at them sideways. You know, what are 5 13-year-old girls doing out shopping in the middle of the day? And so we really do take advantage of it and take it for granted, because we forget what it was like many years ago to have to go out and do things in the middle of the day. So I'm grateful for that freedom. And I'm grateful that you've continued to homeschool your kids. Talk about what your homeschool journey now is looking like with your kids. Why did you continue to homeschool, and kind of just unpack for us what a homeschool day looks like in the Lynam family?
So it looks different all the time. You know, there's so much value in rhythm and having a system and a schedule. So we do try to hold to some of that, but also just having a whole lot of grace because of how we have set up our life, and my husband running a business and me running a business. Like right now, he has the kids and I don't even know where he took them so that I can do this interview, on a Wednesday afternoon. And so having so much grace for that, we have a ton of ebb and flow, and we try to have a lot of stability in our kids' lives through community. And so like an average week, we're going to on Monday get a lot of academic work, if you will, done. I want to front load the week and just know that we got to those things that they're necessary.
Sure.
And then on Tuesday, we're going to do a little more academic work, but we're going to mix in some extracurriculars, like they have music class and jujitsu. And then same thing on Wednesday. On Thursday, they have a co-op where they get to go and do some really fun classes, have a lot of socialization, and that is where their core friends are. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, a few years ago, as our boys were starting to get older, we started to see that, you know, it is so important who we have around our kids and who are their core people, who is their core community. And so we made some major changes in our life. We even ended up moving to a different side of town and getting involved in a church and really choosing that co-op and what else in our life would just get our kids around those people that share our values, and not sheltering them. They still have a whole lot of interaction with people that don't share our values, but we want to make sure that there was so much overlap that they're seeing those families that share our values, that we're having them in our home. So just community is so essential, especially as our kids are getting older. It's essential for us and for our children.
Yeah.
And then Fridays are usually fun days. I lead a hiking group. And so that is our hiking day with our friends, which is, again, community, a lot of those same kids that are in their co-op. If we're not hiking, then we are either exploring together as a family, and then we Sabbath. Sabbath is huge in our home. So we Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday evening. Tech is put away, screens are put away, work is put away. We usually stay home unless we're going on a hike or something, and we just rest. And so Friday afternoons are kind of preparing for that, getting excited for that, cleaning up the house a bit, putting everything away, and just getting ready for time together.
Yeah, so important. I love that you do that. Our family does that as well on Sundays. That's our day of just rest and nothing. I don't even cook or wash dishes or do anything, you know, no laundry. We don't do any of that stuff on Sunday. We just take a break, and we look forward to that day so much throughout the week because we're busy, you know, as most homeschool families are. So it's a beautiful thing. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about you as a master naturalist. I read that in your title description. I was like, what in the world is a master naturalist? So we will talk about that in just a minute. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math.
It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC Math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Erin. So Erin, before the break, I said you are a master naturalist. Explain to us what that is and how that correlates with the Bible and God's nature and all these things. What is a master naturalist?
I first heard the term from my mother, who became a master naturalist a few years before I did. And at that point, you know, I enjoyed nature. We were living in Colorado, but it wasn't a huge thing in my life. And so when my mom went through this training, I was like, wait, what is this? She was out like learning about insects and birds and doing all these classes outdoors. And so as I began enjoying nature more and more and seeing my kids growing up in the mountains, I started to see these connections that they were experiencing something spiritual when they were in the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking toward my next book and what should I be writing? And I began to see, you know, there are so many materials in nature for connecting children to God and reconnecting those dots between creation and creator. Like all of this is God's handiwork. So why are we not using it? And so that's when I went to my mom and I was like, okay, what is this thing you did a few years ago? Tell me all about it. And so she did. And then I found a local program to certify as a master naturalist. And it was a 5-week intensive course learning all about local flora and fauna and how to create curriculum from it and how to present that curriculum and teach it. But that wasn't enough for me. Like I finished that course and I was so excited. Like, where do I go from here? And so I continued taking further courses after I certified, just learning more about specific species and birds and insects and wildflowers. Like I took a class last year, a 3-day intensive workshop in the Rocky Mountains where we spent 3 days on our knees staring at wildflowers and just studying them. And it was so incredible seeing the details and coming back to my children and showing them what I had learned and just capturing their attention through the details of creation. Yeah. And so my main goal, my passion in this, the reason I certified as a naturalist was so that I can use the materials in nature to teach theology. Like Jesus did this all the time in the Gospels. We look at his parables and everything that he taught, and he used sparrows and wildflowers and grains of sand and olive branches. And he's calling on all these things that he and the Father fashioned together at creation. And it's powerful, especially for children, because they remember through these hands-on experiences. And so that's my work now in my writing and podcasting and everything I do. I just want to reconnect those dots and equip parents to do the same, to be able to go outside, because we all know that time in nature is important for our physical health and mental health, but also our spiritual health. And so not just going outside, but taking it further and showing them what does this show us about God, our creator, and how he loves us.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how truly spending time in nature and outdoors can really strengthen our faith for our kids, for our families, and bring us back together.
Mm, yeah. So I believe God fashioned it this way, that he made nature and theology or scripture to go together. My husband and I met in Bible college, and while we were there, they taught us that there are two primary revelations of God. The first is special revelation, and that is God's living and active word, his scriptures. And that is primary because it's only through special revelation that we get the gospel message. Yeah. And then secondary and complementary is natural revelation. And that comes from Romans 1:20, that God's invisible attributes, namely his divine power and eternal nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world through what has been made so that we are without excuse. And so we can see that God has made these things plain to us in nature. So these work together. Like theologians for so long talked about it as the two books of God, being his scriptures and his creation. And so seeing our children make those connections, like I think of one several years ago, we visited Dinosaur Monument National Park. It's not a very popular national park. It is in the middle of nowhere. We had to drive like 3 hours west to get there, and it bridges Utah and Colorado.
Okay.
And one day we were driving through, there was this area we wanted to go explore, but we didn't realize it was an hour drive through the middle of nowhere. And so we're just driving, and it is desert, and it's October, and everything is parched and dead or dying, except for where the river ran. Because where the river was, there were these incredible, majestic cottonwood trees. And because it was October, they were this golden yellow. And my son, who was, I think he would have been about 9 at the time, he said, "Mom, I understand now why the trees grow by the river. They need the water for their roots." And so I was able to connect that to Psalm 1, where we learn about the person who meditates on God's word day and night, that they will be like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf does not wither and who bears fruit in season, and in everything they do, they prosper. So now my son has that visual of that desert with the river and the cottonwoods, and that we can be like those trees when we abide in God's word.
As we look at Psalm 1, that is a part of scripture that we hold very tightly to as homeschool parents. And it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And then it goes on, as you were saying, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. But that first part of it, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And we have such a privilege to be able to do that with our kids when we have them home with us, when we're homeschooling them, because they can't meditate on the word of God and on his truth and on his goodness day and night when they're sitting in a classroom for 40 hours a week. Especially if they're sitting in a public school classroom that's teaching them everything contrary to the word of God, right?
Right.
And so talk about what this looks like. You talked about special revelation and natural revelation. What does this look like in a practical way for you as a homeschool mom? You know, of course, driving through the desert, you know, being out in nature, but I find it so much more than you don't just go outside. Okay, kids, we're going to go learn today. We're going to go outside and look at some flowers. Like it goes so far beyond that. So what can it look like practically for us as homeschool parents day to day?
I believe it takes a lot of time, like you said, out in nature.
Yeah.
But more importantly, a lot of time in God's word. And there are so many scriptures throughout the Bible that deal with nature. Like there's a nature narrative from cover to cover.
Yeah.
And like God wants to bless these efforts. And so I know this can be overwhelming. Like if you are not an outdoorsy person, if you are not familiar with nature, and what I try to encourage parents is you don't have to go out and become a master naturalist. You don't have to have a degree in biology or theology. God is going to honor your efforts. So get out in nature with your child and get into God's word with your child, and he is going to start synthesizing that. And it's beautiful. Like one thing I love to do is when I'm preparing like a lesson for our podcast, I have God's word on the table and I have all of these illustrated picture nature books. Like I scour the shelves at the library in the children's area and I start to learn about the topic that we're studying. And God just makes these connections between those details and his word. And one, I'll give you an example. So a few years ago, I was on a nature hike with our kids and we came across a milkweed plant. Milkweed is a very important plant and it's native here in Colorado. We have a patch in our yard. And I had noticed that on the milkweed plant, one of the leaves was bent over, and this is called flagging. And I was able to explain to my children that the monarch butterflies, they will only lay their eggs on the milkweed plant. They're a specialized species, is what that's called. But it's very ironic because the milkweed plant is actually toxic when an insect bites into it, the sap inside is super sticky and it glues their mouth shut and they can't eat. They starve to death. Mm-hmm. And what the monarch caterpillars, so those babies, when they hatch as the caterpillars, what they will do is they will go down to the vein of that leaf where the sap flows, and they're going to gnaw right through it and cut off the flow of sap. Then they go back up to the leaf, which is now flagged, bent over because they chewed through it. And that's when they can safely eat that leaf. So I'm showing my kids all of this. And then we got to see it in action last year. We had 5 monarch caterpillars that we reared into butterflies.
Wow.
So I'm showing them this and talking about how God calls us to do the same. When we sense that something is toxic, whether it's a habit or a thought or an idea or an action, He wants us to go to the source of it and cut it off. Don't allow that into our lives anymore. And that's how He keeps us safe.
Wow. That is amazing. It's so cool to look at how every part of nature has a purpose.
Yeah.
And then being able to circle back around and help our kids to understand, like, if this flower has a purpose for a monarch butterfly, how much more purpose do we have as humans? Right? Mm-hmm,
exactly.
I mean, it's incredible to think that God made us on purpose and for a purpose, every single one of us. And you know, the flowers are amazing, but our bodies are and our minds are so much more intricate even than any part of nature that we can look at. And so such good stuff. We are out of time. We have lots more to talk about, but we're out of time. Erin, where can people find out more about you?
So on my website, which is my name, which is spelled funny. So it's erinlynum.com. erinlynum.com. And on that website is our podcast for kids, which is Nat Theo, Nature Lessons Rooted in the Bible, where just like that monarch butterfly, I do 20-minute lessons, all like that, that teach something in nature with real science and then connect it to theology and real faith. So our podcast is on there, and my book, Rooted in Wonder, Nurturing Your Family's Faith Through God's Creation, full of practical ideas and the why. Why should we do this? How is it powerful? And how can we implement it in our homes and homeschool?
Love it. We will put those links in the show notes. And your podcast, I haven't had a chance to listen yet. It sounds amazing. I absolutely love that. I often see people ask on social media, you know, what are some good podcasts for kids? And so it sounds like yours is a great one geared towards kids. And is it more towards younger kids, middle school, high school, or all of the above?
I really write and produce the episodes for my kids' ages, which my daughter just turned 6, but basically 5 to 12 years old.
Okay. Awesome. We will put that link in the show notes. So Erin, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you guys for being with us. If you've not yet watched the movie Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution, you can stream it for free through our website, schoolhouserocked.com. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter on our website, schoolhouserocked.com. Make sure you stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next on the podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you back here on Wednesday. Bye.
When I talk about screen time, I often use the analogy of an invasive plant. In nature, we have native plants, which are belonging. They should be there. They help the landscape. They're beautiful. They contribute. And then we have invasive plants, which are like alien plants. They're not supposed to be there. They might still look beautiful, but unless you really know what they're doing, you don't realize they are causing a lot of havoc and a lot of harm. Our kids are really the first generation growing up in this highly tech world. And so we are the first generation of parents having to navigate that.
Yeah.
So both invasive plants and technology are new introductions. And both of them came with some good intentions. Like I said, invasive plants were brought in to bring beauty. And technology came with a lot of great uses. But left unchecked, both can be devastating.